Welcome to a Panthers. I'm going to call it a post-game podcast. It's also a pre-game podcast too, of course, looking ahead to the weekend. But there is only one place to start. What a night it was in the Sheffield Arena. Nottingham Panthers going through 5-4 on aggregate, thanks to that great moment where Brendan Harris set off Brian Limos and he scored 20 seconds into the extra period. Panthers off to the Challenge Cup final where they'll face Belfast Giants or the Coventry Blaze. Ken Feast is so happy he's having a drink to celebrate. Also joined by John O'Bullard, Dan Green and Chris Gadsby. Good evening all.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Let's start with Jono Bullard, because Jono, you were the lucky one that was in there. You and Sophie were doing the tweeting. I was back home writing the match report. How can we break it down? I think I want to start. Let's start at the beginning. Sheffield came at us hard, didn't they? And were so deserving of taking the game to overtime.
Yeah, they played like they were three goals down. They had to play desperate because it was the only way they was going to get back into the game. And they were on top of that, well on top of that game for 50 minutes. And then, I don't know what happened. As soon as they drew it level
Yes.
On aggregate,
Know what you're going to say. We changed.
It changed. It was almost as if a switch flicked on the Panthers bench, and they suddenly started creating chances. They started having possession. They started getting zone time. And I think for that final 10 minutes from when Sheffield made it 4-4 on aggregate, I felt we were probably the better team.
Yeah.
But we were only the better team for 10 minutes of that 60-minute portion of the game, because Sheffield were so far on top. In the second period, it was like the Alamo. They would just wave after wave after wave of attack. And to be fair, thanks to a combination of Kevin Carr and Jakob Stridsberg with an incredible stop on the line,
wow, yeah.
It kept the score line down. And then, of course, goes to overtime, and we get that magic moment 25 seconds in. I think I said to you guys earlier, that's now 59 seconds of combined overtime in two semi-finals, the last two semi-finals against Sheffield, and they've not touched the puck once.
Yes, 25 seconds. I think I called it 20 earlier, but who's counting 5 seconds? I want to get on to the exciting stuff, but I need to go in chronological order. Greener, I want the hockey perspective. You might not have picked up on this last night, but Danny Stewart calls a timeout to stem the flow. It's like Jono said, it's the Alamo. Of course, we go 1-0 down shorthanded in the first. Marcinou replies immediately. 20 seconds, that was where my 20 seconds was. Marcinou replies within 20 seconds to make it 1-1. I do believe that's right. But yes, in the second period, Greener, it was unbelievable one-way traffic. Stewie causes timeout to calm things down. I think Jono Nod, they score 8 seconds later, something like that. How deflating, you know, as a room, as a team, can that be in that moment?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, it sounds like Danny, you know, did the right things, thought he was doing the right thing. You know, you do sometimes see that, especially when you're away from home, just to kind of take the crowd out of it a little bit, just to kind of quieten the building and get the guys, you know, sort of back to square one. But as you said, Sheffield came out and, you know, scored straight away. But, you know, I think that's probably just a bit of a coincidence. I think, you know, that move is one that is used quite a lot, you know, all around the world in hockey. If you're really under the cosh, you're away from home, the crowd's on top of you. We've seen Danny do that a few times at home as well, when maybe we've been up by a couple of goals and we've let two quick ones in or something like that. You know, you certainly don't have to wait till the last 2 minutes to use your timeout like most coaches do. It's whenever you think it's a good time to just settle the guys down, give them a little breather and maybe get a message across to them. So, you know, potentially didn't have the effect he wanted last night, but, you know, a very sort of veteran coaching move that often does work for him.
Yeah, Jonathan Fernley actually on the commentary caught it at the time. I remember him, you know, he was like, he goes, I like this move. And you kind of touched on it there. Don't wait on it for later. If you think it needs to happen now, get it done. To be fair, I think it was a bad giveaway, wasn't it, that gave Usula the puck for then Dow to score the goal. I think from memory, it must have been not long after the face-off from the timeout, and you can't sometimes account for like a bit of a turnover. And Sheffield, as I say, then had their tails up. Let's kind of start to sort of digest the comeback and come on to you, Ken. I just wonder, Jono touched on it there. After taking those two penalties, and that wasn't the best scenario, the 5-on-3. I think everybody felt Sheffield were going to score, and they did. But Jono touched on it in that previous answer. The way that the mentality changed when it was a tied game, it had to change, or else it was going the wrong way. But very credit to the boys, the way it did change, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point around how they sort of, I don't know, was the pressure off at the point it got leveled to like, well, actually, look, we're back in a game now. The worst thing that we could think would happen has now happened. They're level, we're tied again, we've got a game to play. And I think sometimes, I'd be interested in it from a sports psychology perspective. I wonder, what a sports psychologist would make of it. But sometimes the thing you're most worried about, you almost like manifest it into existence. And I think if there was that nervousness about them getting back on top, leveling the tie and all of that, once reality strikes and that does happen, there's possibly a sense of relief that you can now just get on with the rest of the game. And I thought it was showed an immense amount of character that at that point we flicked a switch, because up until then I just felt, obviously it's been said already, Sheffield were at the best of the game. They were on top. They were the better team for a large, massive portion of the game. But somehow we managed to get it back together, and then, to go and I guess I think I put a tweet out, we gave him a sporting chance, made a contest of it, and then 25 seconds into overtime, we get the win and send them home disappointed. I mean, yeah, I did, I have to say, I did leap from the from my chair and give it some when that goal went in. And
Oh.
what a goal, and what a celebration as well. I
Oh.
mean, the way Lima just he just sort of pushes off the Sheffield player
The
in front of
D man,
Greenfield and
yeah.
creates a huge gulf of space in front of him. And then it's like the only place you want that to go is Greenfield's, like, throwing himself forward and floundering forward is top. You're just up in the top, and he lifts that puck so beautifully over the top. And I mean, for those that didn't see it, Greenfield was screened, so that helped. And he was, yeah, it was, I mean, what a beautiful finish, really.
Yeah, I mean, talking about celebrations, I say I wasn't able to get the children were with me, and bit late for on a Wednesday night for them with school the next day. But the moment of us, the three of us running around the room, it's I it's lovely. Like everyone will have their own little story for the moment, and there I was, I say, the three of us jumping up on settees and running around the room, and it was brilliant. Jono Bullard's been spotted. Great celebration. It's like bouncing in the air with both arms waving up and down. Chris Gadsby, not had you on. What was your celebration like, Chris?
It was somewhat muted. We were slightly scared of waking sleeping child.
Oh, there you
But no, I
go.
mean, it was a full roller coaster of emotions from the night, wasn't it? To be pegged back and then to take it to overtime. And we all know anything can happen in overtime. Unfortunately, it went Panthers' way. But yeah, I mean, social media has been full of videos today. I think the best one I've seen was from someone in the Sheffield fans who was kind of directly opposite on the other side of the rink to the Panthers fans and got a different angle of that goal. And the uproar in the Panthers fans when that goal went in and what we'll call the limbs as the goal went in was really something to watch.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I a tied game, I was panicking. Sophie and I were texting, and Sophie was just like, "It's fine. We're going to be fine, Chris." But I think those of us who have been there before have seen the script, haven't we? Jono, Ken, maybe even you, Greener, to an extent. We've seen Sheffield turn around leagues. You know, there was a time when I felt like 4 or 5 games in one season, Sheffield would turn around 2 or 3 goal leads. One time, what did they score with about 0.2 seconds to go?
Levi Nelson in the last second in the chat, I think a Challenge Cup group game there. Yeah,
There was a there
after
was
we've been 3-1 up, I think.
there was a
Yeah.
game. I mean, Jonathan Fernley threw out a stat kind of on the last time I think they were behind against us and said this was the 14th time they'd turned around a 2-goal deficit or something. But Jono, things are different now. And you kind of mentioned that in your, I think it was your final question to Danny or your penultimate one. You know, this team, the coaching staff led by Danny and Linton Grant, you just feel that it's different. The mentality is now, I mean, going back, I think going into Sheffield that day last season and getting that win back in November, whenever it was, and breaking that long-running hoodoo of not being able to win in Sheffield, and then all the other things that Danny and Linton have ticked off, the mentality is it's the belief, and to me, it must be the belief that Danny puts into his players.
There's no fear
Yeah.
now that there used to be. I think in times past, I think we would have crumbled, and we would have lost the game. Not this team. They found something, they found a steel, they found a spark to take it. And we keep doing that. Look at the playoff semi-final last season. We were 2 goals down in that after
Yeah.
30 minutes, and then all of a sudden it was like a switch was flipped, and we were the better team for the rest of the game and won it in overtime. And we seem to be able to compete with Sheffield. I mean, they had such a long run of victories against us. What was it, 21 games?
Yeah.
I mean, that's massive. And I think as soon as that came to an end, it changed. The
Yeah.
rivalry changed. We were suddenly back. We were suddenly on a level playing field once again, and I think that showed last night. And because they found something from somewhere, whereas maybe in seasons past they wouldn't have done.
Did you say something there, Ken? Sorry, Jono.
No. I was just thinking about something, but I can come in after Jono. I
Okay,
don't want to
Jono. Sorry,
press the
carry on,
question.
Jono.
Yeah. So there's a steel about them. There's a difference about them, and the culture has changed. The culture is changing for the better. We're winning trophies. We're competing again on all levels. And yeah, and last night I think was a great example of that, because even though we were very much second best for a lot of that game, we still found a way to get the job done.
I'm going to ask Dan a question about that in a minute, but Ken, the floor's yours for your big
Yeah,
moment, this big
no,
point.
I felt like we, I don't know if this comment makes sense, but I felt like we Sheffielded the Sheffield Steelers last night.
It does make
And I
sense.
felt like, how many times over the last few years of, and it's been a long run of, sometimes we'll have the best of a game and they'll just edge it in overtime, or they'll just find a way to win, and again, they'll score against the run of play. And you just felt like we've started, that's a bit more of our identity. Never, never, never say die. Never, never give up. And that's really good. And then also, I think there's an element of it's probably one of your talking points, Chris, for tonight. But I think Sheffield by the end of the game, they played with such intensity, and they threw so much in. That I think when it got to the last stages of that game, I think they were a bit fatigued as well. I think they ran out of gas because they were rolling consistently three lines. And yeah, I don't know. I think maybe they ran out of gas.
That's very interesting as well. 20 seconds in, 25 seconds in, sorry, of course. Interesting question I want to you, Greener. I know you didn't see the game. You're always a busy man. But should we be bothered that for 50 minutes in a massive game that we were second best? Or is that kind of hockey. We were unbelievable in the first period against Sheffield, scored three goals, and then it was an even game. And then probably for 50 minutes of the second leg, Sheffield absolutely battered us, definitely more than we probably gave it to them in the first leg, if you see what my meaning is. But of course, we found the way. A couple of things spring to my mind. They score shorthanded. That's a killer blow in the first period, but we respond straight away on the power play. And again, that to me was another good sign. So I guess my question is, should we be concerned that in a massive game that we've struggled at first, or do we look really the fact that they got the job done?
Yeah, I think it's just the fact they got the job done. I think as well, the fact that we were so kind of overpowered yesterday really, I think, was just more to do with the scoreline. You know, Sheffield, you can't play like the way they did game out for 50 odd games in the season because, like you said, they were just exhausted at the end. But, you know, if that game had been 2-2 going into that leg, the game would have been totally different. You know, their setup would have been, ours would have been. I'm sure we certainly didn't go there to just not lose by three, but you know, we knew that Sheffield would just come out all guns blazing. In that rink is difficult, the atmosphere, the noise, you know how good they are in that rink. And it would have been the same if it was the other way. If we'd have lost the first leg 4-1 and we'd have come home last night, we would have been all over them all game because it's just, it's kind of a bit of a mental thing. One team's hanging on and the other team has to try and score. So you obviously never want to get outplayed, you know, as you say, but I think you guys will probably know better than me, but if you take all six periods, you know, maybe they played better for three, maybe four of them over the whole six. So I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think we went there, yeah, we had to bend a little bit and hold on and rely on Kazi a bit, but I think anytime you win, there's always things you can look back on and say, "Well, we got a bit lucky here, or we didn't do this well." But at the end of the day, over six and a bit periods, we were the better team. And yeah, I just think if the first leg hadn't have been so one-sided, that the two teams wouldn't have played like that last night.
Great
Has
finish.
anyone checked on Ben O'Connor to make sure he's all right?
I mean, they hyped it up. They got O'Connor, didn't they? Didn't they get somebody else to make a speech as well? They certainly did that, and they got the building rocking. I mean, it sounded loud from the webcast. Panthers fans played a great part. I could hear them on the webcast as well. It really, it was. Let's be honest, it was everything you wanted in a game. I mean, if we would have won the game 4-1, we probably would have covered this topic in about 2 minutes. But we were given another magic moment, Older fans, as I put something on social media, like it brought back memories of Koivunoru to Aarhus in the 2004
60-53.
60-53. And I think in that overtime, Sheffield barely touched the puck as well. If they touched the puck once, they were probably lucky. That was a move that was built from the back with Stanchock originally, and the pass from Thompson to Koivunoru, then to Aarhus. I can see that night as day. It was a pass from the left-hand side to the right-hand side, slightly closer in, was Lemos. But Chris Gadsby, Lemos deserves credit. I think whoever touched on it there, Ken, the little push on the D-man, great finish, top shelf, calm under pressure. But Harry Hockey, the way he protected that puck, because he actually had it for a good, probably, I don't know, 10 seconds of those seconds of overtime, Chris. That was a clutch play from Harry Hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that particularly when you're in the 3-on-3 overtime, you know, nobody wants to be the one that makes that mistake that leads to the rush down the other end. So he did really well with that control of the puck and then found the great pass over to Lemos, who was able to get the job done. And it was one of those, wasn't it, on the stream that was in and out so quickly that it was almost a little bit unsure. I had a bit of a delayed reaction to it because it did seem to pop out so quickly. I was like, is it in? Is it at the bar? What's happened? And then obviously it became very clear that it had gone in after a second or two when everybody started going absolutely nuts. But it is what you kind of alluded to there, Chris. It's just kind of everything you wanted in a game. It was a great advert for the Elite League over the two legs. And Panthers are in yet another final.
Anybody want to throw out there who you, I mean, who are we going to face? If there's one team right now who I think can give it to Belfast Giants, Ken, it's Coventry
Coventry.
Blaze. They've got a decent record, I think, against them this season. It stacks up well.
The more Sire will be hoping that he gets to the final, I think. So it'll be, and this team will be motivated to do something. And I think, yeah, definitely.
What do you reckon?
I think it's wide open. I do think that probably, obviously, Belfast statistically like the stronger team, but I think they're fully concentrating on the league title. So not that they don't. I don't think that they care about the Challenge Cup, but I think they're laser focused on the league. And if they are that, yeah, I think there's an opportunity for an upset there, definitely.
Yeah, do we all agree on that? Any
And a battle, it'd be a
anyone think?
battle of the Midlands, battle of the Midlands if it's
Yeah,
the Coventry Blaze.
I mean the thing is, Blaze are going in there with that what they've got that slight advantage. They've got the one goal, so that they'll play it like it's all level and nil nil. But they've got I think they've got a couple of victories in Belfast this season as well, so they'll go in there with absolutely no fear and. They've been on such great form since Christmas that you cannot rule them out at all.
Chris
I think
Gatsby.
realistic.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah, go.
go.
You're
I was going
coming
to
in.
say, I
Come on,
think
Chris.
realistically, this is Coventry's chance at a trophy this year. Obviously, anything can happen in the playoffs, of course, but they're not going to win the league title, and they've got themselves in a great position for the Challenge Cup. So I think. If they want silverware, this is probably their best chance at getting it, and they're going to give it absolutely everything.
Talking of comebacks, but this is I just remembered something because Jonathan Firmley was talking about three goals down. Coventry, of course, who remembers this one? 20 December 2023. So what we're looking at 2 seasons ago, Coventry Blaze fought from 4-0 down on the night to beat Belfast Giants and qualify for the semi-finals, a 6-5 aggregate win. That rings a bell. Anyone remember that? Jono, come
Yeah,
on down.
it was when Stewie was there, wasn't it?
Dewey must have been coach. There you go. So hang on a minute. I'm just reading this report here. In the middle of, here we go again. Look at this. In the middle of the second period, the Blaze were becoming trapped in their zone for long spells at a time, leading to Danny Stewart calling a timeout to give instructions to his team. Listen to the irony of this. 26 seconds later, the visitors found themselves two down. So, again, he stems, but look what happens in the end. Danny Stewart's team finds a way to win. I think all those goals that the Blaze scored came in the last sort of
Yeah, it
15
was
minutes of the
so
game.
they were 5-1 down on aggregate with 14:08 to go.
I'm just getting the game sheet down. So,
And they got four goals in 7.5 minutes, and then Dudek got it in the shootout.
yeah, I remember logging on to watch that. I remember seeing the comeback and thinking, I gotta watch that.
I'm just imagining, because we can't see Chris, people who obviously we never put the video out of our podcast, but we can't see Chris. And I just imagine for some reason him like going through a Rolodex to find the card for that game and just pulling it out.
This is Chris Gadsby, TSGG, of course.
Don't need a Rolodex. I've got the internet.
Yeah,
The Elite League
but
website has the info. I don't.
yes, I'm
no, but
looking.
I just can imagine you just like being retro using a Rolodex.
But yeah, so Stewie got them into the semi-finals. No idea what happened after then, but that was a I remember that. What a night. So look, anything could happen. I don't think you can say, oh, we'd rather face this team or that team either. Like Coventry will be a tough nut to crack
No,
in a one-off
they
game
lost 10-1 to Steelers on aggregate
in the
in the
semi-final.
semi-final.
I mean, I think, was that not the year Sheffield won everything? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, 20, yeah.
I think that was the year. I think that was the year Sheffield won everything. Greener, I want to have a little chat about bench size. Nottingham definitely utilized their bench more than Sheffield. The fact that, you know, the whole and actually the Elite League website says that Finney Urich got no ice time last night. I think he got a shift or two, I'm led to believe. I tried to check that out today, and I don't think it was 0-0, but not being there, I couldn't say for certain. But again, whether I don't remember seeing I mean, Jono was there, and it might be able to shed some light. I don't remember seeing any of the Sheffield fourth line on the ice of Nordstrom, Schuder, and Watson. And I think in Pete Spencer's interview with Fox, Spencer talked about it, and he said, "I wanted to get them on. It just didn't happen. The matchups didn't work for me," which, you know, he was very honest about the answer. But Greener could fatigue, you know, like I think, again, you touched on it, didn't you, Ken, about, or was it you, Jono, that obviously how hard Sheffield went, but because effectively they went with three lines all night, is fatigue, I mean, overtime only lasted a few seconds, but is that maybe a strong opinion? Maybe could he have utilized his bench more?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's rare now that you see a team like, you know, there's guys that don't get a single shift, or, you know, there's obviously be maybe younger guys that don't play as many minutes. But yeah, I mean, as you said, on both sides, if Finn didn't and the three for Sheffield, or maybe the four for Sheffield, didn't get any ice, that is quite rare. Again, I just think it's one of those, you know, it's without any disrespect to those guys, especially the Sheffield guys, you know, it's such an important game. The problem is when it's when you're down by three goals, one goal can literally end the whole tie. You know, if we score the first goal last night, the game's basically over. And
Yeah.
it's like, it's on such a knife edge that, like, you know, in a normal regular season game, that would never happen. But, you know, if you put that fourth line out and they get caught out there against Fossier, Pearson, and Harris, and those guys score, that could be the whole, you're out the competition. So it's just such a, it's, it, I don't think it's great to see. You obviously want to see those guys get ice, and potentially later in the game, it did cost them. You know, if those guys had got two or three shifts each, you know, would have given other guys a bit of a breather. And, you know, you can kind of look at it both ways, but I just think in those pressure moments when you're down by three goals, you have to just let the big dogs play. You know, you just need Balmas, Usula, Dow. They just needed them on the ice all game. And, you know, it probably happens in every league. You know, if in big games, playoff games, cup competitions, when it comes down to it, the kind of big experienced players will play a lot more. So I guess you'll never know, but, you know, obviously from a development point of view, and, you know, it's people we probably know quite well, it's disappointing to see them kind of barely play, but, you know, it does happen from time to time.
I think it's, I mean, we always talk about it. It's a discussion for another time, isn't it? Because it is a different era to the time when Robert Lakovic was scoring overtime winners against Sheffield Steelers, and, you know, Robert Farmer was the king of the ice. It's a different era. And looking at this Sheffield lineup, certainly the British players, obviously Dowd, who got the most ice time, very, very experienced. But then you look on the guys listed on the fourth line. Cole Shouldrett, yeah, he's been about, but with players like Kyle Watson and Ivan Bjorklund-Nordstrom, a lot of inexperience there. So while, you know, it is a shame, it definitely, the logic was, you know, and again, you can argue if he just put them out for a few shifts, things would have been different. We haven't really talked about the weekend. We haven't got long left either, because I'm still not playing for an upgrade to Zoom. But yeah, it's a big weekend. Ken, let's go to you. You know, if Panthers can get 4 points this weekend, and Belfast, you know, maybe Sheffield can do us a favour on Friday. You never know. But I think Panthers, you know, without really talking cliches, take care of their own action this weekend and just see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, it's an opportunity, isn't it? We've got to not we've not got to think about, you know, who's playing who beside us. We've got to concentrate on our own next few games. Starting with Manchester.
Yeah.
Manchester are a very, very good side. They've proved that. I think they will beat good teams, and you've got to be on your mettle. They will play physical. They will come with a game plan. Hopefully, we'd like to think, we'll be able to do something on Saturday night. But these are not no game in this league. No matchup is you can take you can't take any of it lightly. And I think, yeah, it's going to be. I think actually Saturday night against the Manchester Storm. That's quite. That'll be a good. I mean, I don't know what ticket sales are doing. I'm guessing it's heading for another sellout.
Sold out. I mean, I think last check there was about nine singles left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the atmosphere will be bouncing. They got some great fans, and they've got a good team and a good. I think they're well coached as well, and I think
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the games. I know, you can say what you like about where we are in the league and how many points Belfast are ahead, but at the end of the day, what would you rather be? Would you rather be being chased or the chaser, or anything can happen.
Yeah.
This is this league's all about putting runs together and big runs of form. But that if you get a few bad games, few bad bounces, things don't go your way, that 6 points, I know it's a big swing, but it can be extinguished. It can, we've got a massive double header against the Belfast Giants coming up. We just got to concentrate on winning the next game that's in front of us.
Yeah, you've taken all the time, Ken, but it was a good answer, and we are grateful to you for that lovely answer. But unfortunately, Ken, sorry, unfortunately, Jono, Greeno, and Chris Gadsby, I can't come to you because we're out of time. But it was nice to end on a good answer, Ken. Thank you. Great answer. Good way to end. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening. As I say, a handful of single tickets. And don't forget Wednesday night, the £12 game against Dundee Stars. That one's selling very well as well. So get your
Frozen
tickets.
frenzy.
Frozen Frenzy, yeah. Get your tickets there. Only £12 all seats. But for now, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at the weekend.